Part 1.
1. You are going to hear a conversation between an agent and a client. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 6. Now listen to the tape and answer the questions.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning. Are you open yet?
Yes, we are. Come in. Would you like to rent an apartment in the city?
Well, kind of. I'd rather rent one near the harbor if possible.
Oh, okay. Do you like the water?
Yes, I do. But I actually repair sailboats for a living. So I'd like to be close to work.
That's understandable. We all want to live close to work. Well, I think I have something near there. How many rooms would you like?
Just one. I'm alone. But I would like to have an extra room for my dog.
So you'd like two rooms and an apartment that accepts animals. Here's one. It's one block up from the harbor and renting for $445. How's that?
That's perfect. Just what I was hoping to pay. What floor is it on?
Floor? Oh, it's on the 12th floor.
That's too high. I'd like to be on the first or second floor so that I don't have to use the elevator. My dog, he's scared of them.
Oh, well then, that's a little more complicated. Let me make a few calls. Okay, I think I found a couple more for you. Here's one that might suit your needs.
How much?
$395 a month.
That's cheap.
But it's only a one-bedroom, a large one, but it's still just one room.
Oh, well, regardless of whether the room is small, I still need a separate room for my dog. What else do you have?
Then I have a two-bedroom for $565 on the second floor that is a little further away from the harbor.
How far?
About a half mile, and they accept pets.
That's a little more than I had planned on paying. But I guess I could look at it. What's the address?
224 Williams Avenue, Harbor Square.
224 Williams Avenue. Got it.
Now look at questions 7 to 10. As the talk continues, answer questions 7 to 10.
What else is included?
Let's see. It has a washer and dryer, refrigerator and stove, a bed, dressers and shelves, and access to a swimming pool, game room, and gym.
Ooh, I'll definitely take a look.
Hi, how did you like it?
It's great. I love the amenities, but the bed and furniture are awfully dirty. Can they replace those before I move in?
Sure, that shouldn't be a problem. Anything else?
Yeah, I didn't see anywhere to park my car. Is there a parking lot in the basement?
Yes, there is. Would you like to rent a space?
No, I'd like that to be included in the rent.
Oh, well, I'll see what I can do, but I can't guarantee that. Do you want to take it anyhow?
If those two issues were solved, I would love to take it.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part two.
Part two.
You will hear a university administrator telling a group of new students about the central campus buildings and the facilities they provide. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 16. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 16.
Welcome everyone to the Brandon Complex, the geographical and, we could say, spiritual heart of this university. This is basically where everyone eats too, as you can see by looking around. There are many different cuisines here, Chinese, Indian and Middle Eastern, plus the usual fare of a local type, all in that corner over there. We have many shops here too, but the biggest is Wilson's right there, providing clothing and hardware. That's next to all the restaurants. Now, on the opposite side of Wilson's we have three shops. The one in the corner there, closest to the restaurants, is for DVDs. Yes, the DVDs are cheap and affordable, and you can also rent DVD players as well. Moving on, in the corner directly opposite Wilson's is the Student Union office. Incidentally, you are all encouraged to join the Student Union, as a Student Union card gives you many benefits, including discounts on basically everything you can buy here at the Brandon Complex. Outside this complex, on the other side of the road, you can just see it from here in fact, is a building that we call by the rather unusual name, the H Building. Next to this, on the other side of some trees along the main road, is the Engineering Institute, but that doesn't have anything to do with the Brandon Complex. One last thing is that just outside this door, near us here, you can see a grassy oval patch. Well, that's the playing field for what we simply call the fitness room, which is alongside. So you can put on some calories here at the restaurants and then burn them off at the fitness room afterwards. Oh, I forgot to mention this shop right here, in the middle, beside the Student Union. It's the bookshop. And, as you can see, it's always busy, always popular. You can buy newspapers, magazines and stationery there, plus a few clothing items as well, just as you can at Wilson's. Why don't you go and take a look right now?
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 17 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 17 to 20.
Now, I'd like to tell you a bit more about one of the buildings here, namely the H Building. Despite its bland name, you might be interested in what goes on there. It is our main recreational centre, with halls, offices and space available for a variety of activities, mostly for those who want to get fit. For example, if you're interested in yoga, you're in luck, since 4 days a week there are free yoga classes. They have several levels, so if you're a beginner, you'd have to start with that. You can check the schedules on the wall there. Yoga used to be at night, but now it's in the mornings, but not on Wednesdays. Along those same lines, there's aerobic dancing in the afternoon. This shares the same room as the badminton games, which are on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. The aerobics are on the alternate days, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and it's not restricted at all. Everyone is welcome to join, although the instructor may divide you up, of course, according to ability. And, just to show how diverse the H Building is, there's even some spiritual solace available there inside the multi-denominational prayer centre, with individual booths and a variety of holy scriptures and texts available to read from all the major religions of the world. That's open all day over the weekend, but not at night time when the rooms are for private booking. Finally, for those of you of a cerebral nature, the University Chess Club operates at night. That's open from 8 p.m. every... is it Wednesday or Monday? No, sorry, Friday. And I think it closes at about 11:30 p.m. So, there's something for everyone in the H Building.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part three.
Part three.
You will hear two students discussing the subject of rock art. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 27. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 27.
Hello, David.
Oh, hi, Mia. Sorry I'm a bit late.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for agreeing to help me with my assignment today. I really needed to go over it with someone.
Sure. You were going to talk about European rock art, weren't you?
Yes, the rock drawings in the caves of Lascaux in western France.
Oh, fantastic. Over 13,000 years old, I believe. What sort of drawings are they?
They're drawings of animals, on the whole, but you can also find some human representations, as well as some signs. There are roughly 600 drawings at Lascaux.
Really? Were they mostly pictures of bulls?
Well, no, actually. The animal most depicted was the horse.
Hmm.
Have a look at this graph. It shows the distribution of the different animals. You see? First the horse, and then, after that, a sort of prehistoric bull.
Oh, OK. That's interesting, isn't it?
And the third most commonly drawn creature was the stag. There were some other animals, but these are the main ones.
What are the drawings like? I mean, what sort of style?
Well, the bulls are depicted very figuratively. They're not very realistic. They're very big by comparison to the other drawings of people and signs. They appear to be almost three-dimensional in some cases, following the contours of the cave walls, but of course they're not.
Amazing. Perhaps they felt these animals were the most impressive and needed to be represented like that.
Yeah, maybe. The drawings of humans, by contrast, consist of just simple lines, like the stick figures my little sister draws. Perhaps humans were seen as less important.
Perhaps. What about the signs? How did they draw them?
There doesn't appear to be much evidence of signs, and those that have been found are usually made up of little points.
Rather like Aboriginal art from Australia.
Yes, something like that, but not as complex, of course.
So, apart from the bulls and horses and stags, were there any other creatures depicted?
In one or two chambers you do find pictures of fish, but they're quite rare.
What sort of size is the cave? It must be quite large to have that many pictures.
Well, it's actually a number of interlinking chambers, really. Here's a map showing where the different drawings can be found.
Oh, good. Let's have a look at that.
The first 20 metres inside the cave slope down very steeply to the first hall in the network. That's called the Great Hall of the Bulls.
Here. Okay.
Then, off to the left, we have the Painted Gallery, which is about 30 metres long and is basically a continuation of this first hall.
But further into the cave.
Exactly.
Ah.
Then we find a second, lower gallery called the Lateral Passage. This opens off the aisle to the right of the Great Hall of the Bulls. It connects the next chamber with an area known as the Main Gallery. At the end of the Main Gallery is the Chamber of Felines. There are one or two other connecting chambers, but there's no evidence of man having been in these rooms.
Before you hear the rest of the discussion, you have some time to look at questions 28 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 28 to 30.
Is the cave open to the public today?
Well, no, because after the initial discovery in 1940, it was opened and literally millions of people came through to see the drawings. Then in the 50s, the experts started to worry about the damage being done to the drawings, and the government finally closed the Lascaux Cave in 1963.
Is that so?
It wasn't really the tourists that were doing the harm, but the fact that after thousands of years, the cave was suddenly open to the atmosphere, and so bacteria and fungi started to destroy the pictures. You need a special permit to enter the cave now, and very few people can get that, unless they're scientists or have some official status.
It's a shame, but I can see that they had to do something to protect the cave. So that means you can no longer see this rock art?
Well, not exactly. What they've done is recreate the drawings in a man-made cave, which you can visit.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, the authorities decided to reproduce the two best sections of the site, so they've created a life-size copy of the Hall of the Bulls and of the Painted Gallery. It's just a cement shell, which corresponds in shape to the interior of the original.
So now you can visit the caves without actually harming any of the 15,000-year-old paintings.
Mm-hmm.
That is the end of part three.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part four.
Part four.
You are going to hear the first part of a lecture on American culture and American customs.
First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Well, last week we talked about American education, and today I'm going to discuss American values, characteristics, personal habits and courtesies. Keep in mind as you are listening to this lecture that your goal is to understand, not to emulate or judge. Just briefly, I'd like to mention that there is a remarkable ethnic diversity in the United States. The population of the USA is about 260 million. 73% of the American population is white, 12% is African American, 8% Hispanic, 3% Asian or Pacific Islanders, and less than 1% American Indian or Eskimo. Many Americans resent generalizations being made about them, because Americans see themselves as very unique and individualistic. On the other hand, Americans tend to lump foreigners together into one lot and condescendingly view foreigners as people who are not as intelligent or sensible as Americans. Despite Americans' dislike of generalizations and their ethnocentric point of view, it becomes evident that they are indeed American. Americans value individualism, independence, informality, directness, punctuality, achievement, and competition. Individualism is probably the most highly esteemed value in the American culture and an important key to understanding American behavior. In the historical development of the country, individuality was crucial for survival. If you asked Americans to characterize the ideal person, they would probably use adjectives such as autonomous, independent, and self-reliant. Persons tend to be viewed as individuals rather than as representatives of a family or a group. Here are some examples of how this value affects behaviors. 1. If a group of friends go to a restaurant, everyone wants to pay their own way. In other words, they want to have separate checks and not be someone's guest. 2. In friendships, which seem to initially develop more quickly in the US than in other cultures, the Americans may feel uncomfortable if you give them more help than they need. This is a tendency to draw back and see dependency as weakness. In some ways, the stress on the individual rather than the family or group has led to a more informal society. Sometimes this lack of formality is viewed by members of other cultures as a sign of lack of respect. But that is not the intention in the American value system. This informality is even more predominant on the university campus than in other segments of society. Some ways in which you might see this value expressed in behaviors are 1. You will generally be on a first-name basis with other students, in spite of any age differences. 2. Dress is very informal on campus. 3. Language is informal and sometimes confusing. Phrases like "see you later" and "drop by any time" are not meant literally. They are informal ways of saying goodbye. Americans are direct. Honesty and frankness are more important to Americans than saving face. They may bring up impolite conversation topics which you may find embarrassing, too controversial, or even offensive. Americans are quick to get to the point and do not spend much time on formal social amenities. This directness encourages Americans to talk over disagreements and to try to patch up misunderstandings themselves, rather than ask a third party to mediate disputes. It is particularly interesting to see what behaviors have culturally become associated with straightforwardness. 1. A firm handshake somehow has come to be interpreted as a sign of sincerity. 2. Looking at a person when you speak to him or her gives an indication of honesty. 3. In a question of honesty versus politeness, honesty wins. It is considered better to refuse graciously than to accept an invitation and not go. 4. You will be taken at your word. If you refuse food the first time it is offered, to be polite, it may not be offered again. An American will not know that your initial refusal is politeness. Great value is attached to time in the US. Punctuality is considered an important attribute. As with all values, there are different rules of acceptability in different cultures. In the US, you should be present for school or business appointments at the exact time agreed upon. In social appointments, you can arrive 10 to 15 minutes after the agreed-upon time, without giving offense. If you are invited somewhere for dinner and are more than 15 minutes late, you will need to offer an apology and an explanation. A phone call explaining you have been detained and will be late will save face for you and patience for the other person. Americans also value achievement and competition. The American style of friendly joking or banter, of getting the last word in, and the quick and witty reply are subtle forms of competition. Although such behavior is natural to Americans, you may find it overbearing or disagreeable. Americans are obsessed with records of achievement in sports, and sports awards are often displayed in their homes. Also, sometimes books and movies are judged not so much on quality, but on how many copies are sold, or on how many dollars of profit are realized.
That is the end of part 4.
You now have half a minute to check your...